Today we have a super cool guest. I feel like I've been watching your journey for the last few years online. We've never really met in person, but you know, you see people doing good things, you kind of just connect and just kind of watch what they're doing, and it's been really fun to watch your journey for sure. But today's guest is Jeremy Elliott. I think a lot of you probably all listen to this, probably follow him on Facebook as well. Owns Mylon Turf and Tree, and they're out of, where are you out of, Kansas City, right? Or Great Bend, Kansas City, something like that?
Great Bend, Kansas, Central Kansas.
Kansas. What's the weather like today down there?
It's beautiful. One of the few days that the wind ain't blowing. And
we've had a lot of wind and a lot of rain this year too. But man, I just want to say thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you giving us the time to fill us with some knowledge.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Appreciate it, Jonas. So yeah, like you said, I'm Jeremy Elliott right here in Central Kansas, Mylon Turf and Tree. This is I've been in the industry since 99, but
oh, gee.
I know they may not be able to see it, but you can see the battle stripes right here.
For sure. So, Jeremy, why don't you just like walk us through like how you got into the industry of lawn care to begin with? And what services do you offer? What did you offer when you first started? And kind of bring us through the journey of where you guys are at today. I know that you just bought a new building recently, so I want to talk about that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, after I got out of the military, moved back here to Central Kansas, and my cousin knew I was kind of looking for a job. I wasn't really digging what I was doing after we first got back for, you know, 6 or 7 months, and he worked for a company called here in Great Bend, Kansas, and I came on board with him and started mowing lawns, and next thing you know, I was leading the mowing crew, and then I get moved up to, you know, being a fertilizing technician, and started doing, you know, a little bit of tree care and irrigation. Just got a few more responsibilities as I was going through the business, through the ranks there. But I fell in love with it. You know, it's so that's where it started, and I ain't looked back since. So the services that we're offering now, you know, and I was with this company for about 17 years. I was there for a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. And I just came to a point in my life where it was, you know, I wouldn't say a calling, but just obedience, you know, just knowing that there's something else that I'm supposed to be doing. And it was, you know, primarily about leading people and, you know, how can you improve the quality of other people's lives?
Yeah.
Not that where I was at wasn't doing that, but just not in the way that I was being called to do. So started our business in 2016 and just started diving into, we primarily were doing a lot of recurring services, fertilizing and, you know, taking care of landscape beds. And we've grown it into we're passionate about all of it, but, you know, soil health and tree health in terms of doing turf care.
Yeah. Did you, when you first started the company, were you mowing then or just fertilizing?
Yeah, no, we're mowing. We actually still do.
Oh, really?
You know, we've got a recipe that works for us. Again, just great having a great team in place. You were talking about that earlier. We have an incredible team as well, you know, and it's we couldn't do any of what we're doing without them.
For
you
sure.
Know how that is.
Oh yeah, definitely. So Jeremy, take me back to like when you were in high school. Like you and I are sophomores in high school. Who's Jeremy Elliott?
Oh man. Definitely a different dude. I know in high school, I was just getting out of foster care. We were in foster care for 7 or 8 years, me and my brothers and my sister. And it took me a little while to catch my stride and, you know, get things in, just understanding what I was worth. And I don't know. I mean, it's good stuff. There's no sad story here, man.
Right.
I was quiet, you know, I was quiet. And I don't know what happened my senior year. I think it was my my first girlfriend and current wife. You know,
gotcha. First girlfriend and current wife. Is that what you heard right?
Yeah, I'm a blessed.
Absolutely, you are.
So things changed at that point, but yeah, no. In high school, I was pretty quiet, man. Didn't quite know what I was supposed to do or what I was supposed to be. Didn't have a lot of guidance or direction, and But my senior year, I was getting into some pretty bad stuff. You know how the story goes.
I sure do. Lots of people. Pretty crazy, but it's so cool to watch and go through that journey. Like, it doesn't sound like, you know, your childhood life was very great, maybe, and overcome those obstacles and go through some hard times. That's what makes the man you are today. Sometimes you just have to go through that shit. You know what I mean? But again, it makes you so strong. And I've seen so many people go through not you as an example, but addiction, just hard things when they're young and drinking and alcohol, drugs, and all of a sudden come out on the other side, put all that attention and energy into something that they're passionate about, and they just take fire. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, that's why I joined the military, you know, after my wife and I were engaged at the time, and we got pregnant, and, you know, we grew up in on the system, you know, after foster care, we were on, you know, just welfare, and I was heading that same direction, you know, so that's why I joined the military. I knew that they was going to take care of my family, and so right out of high school, that's where I went.
How long were you in the military for?
3 years, year term. Yeah, I did real well on the ASVAB, but I'm legally blind in my right eye.
Gotcha.
And they about didn't let me in. So I had two choices, you know, once they said that I could, like, hey, you can, we'll allow you to join, but you can only be a mechanic or a cook as a result of my eye issue. So, man, I learned how to cook.
Yeah. When you got out of the military, were you kind of lost for a bit there too? Like, did you not know what you were coming back to? Did you know what you wanted to do at that point? Didn't know what to do? I know you said you're looking for a job. But
I had no idea. I just knew I wanted to be a great husband and a great father. Didn't know how to do any of that either. And I didn't do any of that.
Yeah. So, like, I'm trying to tie in, like, the entrepreneurial side. Like, you're obviously definitely an entrepreneur. Like, at what point did you realize, like, hey, like, I know that I'm made for bigger things. Like, have you always felt that way? Like, from even when you were young?
I did not. I was, it took me, almost 17 years, you know, after working for this company, you know, towards the end of my time there with that company that I was working for, my oldest son was graduating high school, and my whole life was, I thought that my purpose was to be a husband and a father. And I went through a pretty difficult time there, you know, when my son's getting ready to graduate, and then my second son was right behind him, and then my daughter is going to be next. So I kind of went into I about ruined my marriage over it, because I was so worried about, who am I? Like, what am I going to do? What am I going to be? And I've lived my entire life raising these children, and, you know, growing up like I did, I thought that was my purpose, you know, to where if I was to die today, I did my job, you know. So, you know, I had just kind of rekindled a relationship with God, so to speak. And, you know, just understanding that your purpose was to be a father in that moment, you know, in that season of your life. But I felt that calling that I'm supposed to lead men and help them be in a, you know, how can you use your experiences and the things that you've went through to encourage them to become more than what they ever thought they were able to be. And that's become our passion, you know, with our company, is just improving the quality of our team members' lives by creating an environment conducive to growth.
Cool. Let's talk about that. Give me some examples. I know that's what you have in your tagline for your Facebook, for your company tagline too. But not only just your people, but your customers as well, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I can't remember where I read the quote. I know you're a big quote guy too, but there's it is a quote like that, your clients will never love your company until your team loves it first.
It's awesome. I love that. So if you haven't heard about Gorilla Desk yet, it's a super sick software. It's actually made by one of my really close friends, Chris Mureshi. So Chris built Gorilla Desk to help streamline his own personal business over 10 years ago. But now Gorilla Desk is used by over 4,000 companies. And today it's become one of the most premier platforms in our industry. So what's really unique about Gorilla Desk is that it's a simple all-in-one solution that's really easy for your team to use. Gorilla Desk offers a seamless onboard experience and best-in-class support with no additional cost. It's all included in your subscription. Inside the software, you'll find a whole suite of features, scheduling, invoicing, routing, and sales pipelines, integrated VoIP, text messaging, and pretty much all the automation you're going to need, and much, much more. So if you guys are still relying on paper or spreadsheets or fighting with an old software, I highly recommend that you guys check out Gorilla Desk. So we have a link in our description. Click on that, and it'll take you right to their free trial. Now let's get back to the show.
So, you know, our focus, you know, as far as our leadership, is really pouring into our leaders to help them understand, like, no, the client is not always right. I know that's what they say, but you can sure treat them like they are, no matter what.
And a lot of time that's just educating the customer, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So that's what we try to do, is, you know, just trying to improve the, you know, the way that we handle, I mean, giving grace, you know, knowing where we've failed, you know, kind of putting, trying to think of the book. There's a, the QBQ, you know, the question behind the question. I don't know if you're familiar.
Yep, I am. Been a long time since I've read it though.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the way that we've, the way that we look at our culture is, how can we, if we each do that, you know, how can we improve? What could I have done differently? Now we grow, we improve, and they go home. They can take that home, even in their personal lives. And, you know, if they're, you know how it is, you know, it doesn't matter if you own a business, especially in lawn care. Spring is insane.
It sure is. We were just talking about that before the show.
Yeah.
It's just a busy time.
Yeah. You go home and you're frazzled, and your wives are kind of, you know, you're being short, or you had to work long hours or whatever. You know, how could you have communicated that better to your wife to prepare them for what the day is going to look like? But
yeah, because we probably expect them just to know, right? Like, hey, it's springtime. We're thinking about is business and growth, and it's spring. It's fun for us because their phones are ringing and they're adding new customers and all that stuff. And then you forget that you just maybe, like you said, didn't communicate with the family. Like, hey, it is springtime. Like, just, you know, for the next month, 2 months, just realize that, you know, dad's not going to be home as much as he'd like, but just know that I'm thinking about you guys. And when I get home, I'll have a smile on my face. So yeah, it's probably something that I need to work on too. Like, thinking about what you just said, like, I just expect them to know, like, hey, it's springtime. It's go time, you know?
Jonas, how long have you been in this?
I started in part-time in 08.
In 08.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're 15, 16 years deep in it.
Yeah. And then I, you know, again, for first 2008, 2010, I was just doing a part-time. 2010, I went in full-time. But even for the first 6 years, like, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm not having a clue. I was just trying to figure it out. School of hard knocks. Bounced my head off the wall because I doing everything on paper back then, Excel spreadsheets, or a yellow notebook. And then people would call in. I probably had a couple hundred customers. They'd want to skip, and I'm writing this down. It was just a mess. And I searched online, and I got home one night, like, for like scheduling for lawn care, something like that. And Jonathan Potoshnik's video popped up, and I started deep diving into his content, and I was hooked. I'm like, oh man, this has been here the whole time. Like, YouTube was, you know, pretty new at that time though. Like, it really was. So I deep diving into those, and then I found software that night. I stayed up to like 4 a.m. and this is early on in Service Autopilot too. Like, where you just call them, they turn it on for you. So like, they literally just turned it on for me. And I'm just entering all my customers until like 4 a.m. Woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I had one tech at the time, and I just showed him everything I was doing. He's like, whoa, look, what's this? You know? And, that's kind of how it started, and then found Jonathan through that, and then got into his mentorship program, and that's when the light bulb clicked. Like, oh man, there's people out there willing to help me do this that have already been through it. What a shortcut this is. So yeah, it was like the first 6 years was kind of a shit show, you know, just figuring it out. And then after that, not that it's not a shit show still, but yeah, I just learned a lot from people who have been there and done it, and that's just been my goal from since then, is just to learn something new every day. Again, here's the podcast. It's not just, this podcast isn't about just me, but I'm learning along the way. You know, everyone else gets to learn along with me. So just finding those mentors who have been there and done it, that you can just, you know, skip a lot of the steps that they've been through already, you know? So that's kind of the journey. And then I sold the company in 2021 and started back over, yeah, 2020, actually, a new company. And that's what we do now. So when you first started your company, do you remember your first client? How did you start getting clients? And what did that look like? Because a lot of people who are just starting out listen to this show too. So like, what were you doing back then to get clients? Were you knocking doors? Were you talking to people? What did that look like?
Yeah, we're in a pretty small community. We're rural, you know, kind of a rural area here. But it's, you know, after having these connections with clients, our clients back in the, you know, back in the day, after I left the company that I was working for, we didn't really solicit, you know, didn't really go, you know, I was trying to honor the company I worked for. I mean, they raised my family.
Absolutely.
We weren't there to take any clients, but it did happen, you know? So we didn't really do any marketing, no door to door thing. It's like I said, we're such a small community that word travels fast, and we did a good job Facebook marketing and putting our content out there and information, and just the relationships that I'd built over the years and time, you know, they came on board with us because things weren't the same after I'd left. So we were fortunate in that respect. And and again, we're all there's enough out there for everybody. Everybody's doing good still, but really the way that we started it and how we grew was just, I mean, we all talk about it, you know, just the commitments, quality and communication. Those two things alone, that spreads like wildfire. You know, if you communicate well and you perform quality work, you know, that was before we even had a team. So
yeah, especially in a small town, like I know what that's like. This town that I live in is 12,000 people. This is where I started an OG company. And yeah, it was kind of the same way. The first 2 years, I didn't do any marketing either. I remember just having a cell phone and getting a voicemail. The one thing that I did was listen to my voicemail and return calls right away. Like, I was very active on my phone, make sure I show up when I showed up. It was simple. Like, just do it, you know, do what you say you're going to do and do a good job. What is one piece of advice that you wish you had given before you started?
A piece of advice that I was given?
Yeah. What's one piece of advice that you wish you were given before you started?
Man, I would say, implementing systems, just documented systems, in the beginning. I had no idea what this is going to turn into, and we're still kind of chasing our tails in that respect. You know, we're about a year behind every year, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, with growth to where it's difficult, but I would say implementing systems. We were blessed in a lot of different ways. I had so much experience in the industry, but as far as the you know, in hindsight, had I known what this was going to become, I would have implemented and created better systems.
Give us an example of one system that you wish you would have created that you have now, but you wish you'd have had it right from day one.
I would say, like anything from the, you know, how do you properly fertilize a yard, the Mylon, you know, from the time that you pull up to the client's property to the time you get done blowing it off and you fill out the invoice and stick the stake in their flag. What's the process, you know? So I would say that's probably one of the ones that we had the most issues with. You know how it is. Like,
we're entrepreneurs, we're quick starts. We move fast and we forget about the details until we build a team. It's like, oh man, probably should have a process how to do this, so that way it's easier when someone new starts.
Yeah.
And that way, if you have 9-10 locations, or at least they're all ran the same way, you know, it's like the franchise model.
I mean, how have you heard that where Jonas, they just don't do it like you?
Yeah. 100. In the past, I've heard it a million times.
But you know, it's not true. It's like, I'm not special. They can do it just like me. I've failed them in giving them the system and went too fast, you know? So,
yeah. So we got stuck in that trap too, and we were growing fast, and it's like, this is not working. And I would recommend to all the people who are listening, if you're a smaller company, do it now. Because we waited till we got kind of bigger, and then we had to hire a consulting company to come in and write them all for us, which just gets expensive. But it was awesome. Like, it was fantastic. They came in, they asked a lot of questions, watched us do a lot of what we did, but then they, you know, came up with a stack of, I don't remember how many SOPs for everything. It was amazing. So again, it's expensive, but it's something that you could just start, especially with like ChatGPT and all that stuff going on now. It's something you can do in yourself. Like, just tell it what you think you want. It'll pop out, you know, a pretty good script for you. And then use some keywords in there and then just go back and edit them, you know? So it's way faster these days, you know, but even ChatGPT is pretty new for a couple of years. But that's just one way to go do it. But yeah, start now. So that way, as you bring in new people, they're just all trained the right way from day one, you know? And that's when we started implementing the ride-alongs for a couple of weeks for the new technicians. But back then we just couldn't do it. We're just trying to get the work done, you know?
Yep.
Excuses, I suppose.
Oh yeah, we all got them, don't we?
We do. But speaking of like being on the job, what's the craziest story that you remember from being on the job?
Wow. As far as a client or the job, well, we won't talk about clients. Okay. I would say,
well, that's an after podcast question.
That's right. Yeah. I would say, you know, we've got some certified arborists, and you know, I'm ISA certified, so we love ReCare, but, listening to the guys talk, and I wasn't on the job site on this one, but when they were cutting through an elm tree on a job, they're doing a big removal, and they ran through a family of raccoons, I mean, chainsaws ripping, and just listening to the story and how we actually almost had a guy quit over it because the PTSD that he had over, you know, harming these little babies. But it's there's a lot of other crazy stuff I don't necessarily want to get into, but that was pretty tough to.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I know what you mean. We don't even have to say that's pretty wild. From day one, have you always been an arborist too? Like, have you always done tree care?
Yeah, I have. And that was one of the, I wouldn't say that one of the reasons, but it's a contributing factor as to why I left. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a perfectionist, but man, if you're going to do something, do it well, you know, master the facts before you act type of thing. And, you know, for the company that we were working for, they got some great things going on, but, you know, just understanding how to, you know, arboriculture and tree trimming, two different things, right? So, that was really one of the passions that I had when I started our own business. We actually, it was called My Lawn Consultation and Services originally, and it took me about 9 months to be like, I need to get tree care involved in this. So,
you do injections? What do you guys do?
Whatever the, you know, whatever's best for the tree in their unique situation. But yeah, we'll do anything from vertical mulching to root collar excavations to injections if necessary. And, you know, yeah, we do anything that we need to improve the quality of that tree's health. So
what part of your revenue, not specific number, but what percentage of is your revenue split from services?
I would say right now we're about, I would go 40% recurring services as far as on our turf care. And I would say 25% is on the tree care side, tree trimming and tree removal, stump grinding. And then the rest of it's in the tree health. And we do have a little bit of mowing in there, but it's not a big portion of our, it's kind of an entry position for us, you know, to help them understand. We cross train everybody and they get to understand what does it mean to, you know, if you see a tree that is planted too deeply or a tree that's struggling, we can, you know, educate them on how to point this out to clients.
For mowing, are you guys strictly residential? Do you commercial too? What do you guys do a little bit of everything?
We're about, I would say about 60% residential and 40% commercial on the mowing side. And we have, again, great leadership and position that's made it possible for us to do it. You know, it's difficult mowing.
Oh, it's very difficult mowing. That's why I didn't know if you're going robotic, if you still have push mowers, what you guys were doing.
Yeah, no, we've considered the robotic thing. Definitely, again, you know, trying to put our energy into what we're truly passionate about. And do we be the best mowing company in Central Kansas? No, I mean, but we have one of the best people, you know, on our team that can do it. Like, I'm going to support him.
Yeah, that's really cool. The name, though, like, the name was very catchy. It was a very smart move. Was that intentional or was it something you thought of at the time?
Yeah, I really don't know how it all popped up. But, man, I'm a huge Apple fan. I love you know, iPhones and iMacs and iPods and everything. And I was sitting there thinking one day, and it was instead of I was like my, you know. And it's like, you know, back in the day when we were you know, you have like four or five technicians and somebody would jump on your lawn. You're like, hey man, let's get that off your route, that's my lawn. Yeah, you know,
that's awesome. Super clever.
Yeah, so that's where it came from.
What is the best piece of advice that you've been given in business?
Gosh, there's been so much. I know, and I was just talking about this. We're teaching I'm co-facilitating an entrepreneurial class.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a bunch of new, and there's a wide variance of different ventures that they're going into. But one of the first things that I did when I started, and I started publicizing that we're, you know, starting My Lawn Consultation and Services back in those days, I had a great mentor, I guess, of mine. At that point, he was talking about taxes, you know, and I would say the best piece of advice as far as longevity and giving you peace of mind and being able to sleep at night was, you know, don't listen to this two set of books thing, you know, pay attention to Sam. It's real. It's true. Don't try to cheat it. Just put 20% of your, you know, of your profit away.
Yeah. Super smart.
And that was one of the best pieces of advice I received in that moment, because, you know, I thought I had things figured out, and, you know, all this, these years of experience in the industry, but I didn't ever see that side of it. And for him to say that, and I told this story, it's funny you say that, because I told this story last night to the class, because they're all excited about, you know, making money hand over fist. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But break it down to you, accounting, and, you know, I guess that's another one, you know, get a good accountant. For those of you starting out, go find a good accountant, maybe a lawyer even in the beginning. I don't know how necessary that is, but an accountant, 100%.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Again, I'll be honest with you too. I didn't know either. Thank God I had my sister-in-law. She was an accountant. And I remember my first year in business, she's like, oh yeah, you owe this much. I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. So I learned the hard way too. It wasn't a lot of money, but at that time it was a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about this class though. You just like nonchalantly said, hey, I'm just starting this entrepreneur class. Let's go back to that. I'm excited about it. That's cool.
Yeah. No, there's a group called Co-Starters that started in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And, you know, they've been around, I think, I don't want to butcher this, but I think 8 to 9 years. And what they do is they assist potential entrepreneurs. They give them an opportunity to learn. You know, there's a curriculum that they follow to, you know, kind of a step-by-step guide on how to not fail in business.
So it's like a franchise type thing?
It is. Yeah. And we were I don't know how it happened. We just have a great economic development presence here, you know, but they were able, we're the first community in Kansas to offer this in, you know, this co-starter class. So they asked a bunch of people to come for facilitating training. And I was intrigued, you know, I'm like, man, anything that kind of like what you're doing, dude, you know, how can we help people, you know, become more successful in what they're doing? And they, you know, I think there was like a handful, maybe 15, 16 people in there. And then we selected somebody to facilitate their first class. And, well, there's two of us. And they, you know, I was just one of the ones that were chosen. And, you know how it is in the spring is right. It's now.
Yeah.
I'm like,
it's not a bad thing, like, to take you out of the spring hustle and bustle, you know, that way you can rely on your team. My mentor did the same thing to us on purpose. In the middle of April or May, he would purposely schedule us a vacation together as a team, like as a group, just so we would be away from it. Did it on purpose. Not back then. We were like young and naive, like, oh, we can't go. He's like, no, we're going. If you're not here, you won't be in there. That's exactly why he did it. Super smart on his end, you know?
Very smart. I need to implement that. That's a great idea.
So yeah, it's just good. Just to, you know, cause you think that your team can't do it. You have to be there, but I think it runs more smooth when I'm out there. You know what I mean?
So what was that like? Like a 2 or 3 day thing, or was it a?
Yeah, we were gone for like 5 days, I think, together as a team. There was like probably 20 of us that would go once a quarter. So, but it was first thing in April or May. It was always one there, you know. But again, I know why he did it looking back, because he wanted us to grow this thing where we didn't have to be there all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I got into the trap of, even when the business got bigger, like I just felt guilty for not being there. And I called him like, dude, this is how I feel. He's like, Jonas, you know what? He's like, that's how you know you built it right. I'm like, huh, good point.
Yeah.
He's like, rely on that team. That's why you have them. And to switch gears a little bit, if you could sit down and have coffee with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Wow. That's a coffee with anybody in the world. Man, right now, honestly, it would be my son. It'd be Quentin. Yeah. He's in medical school. He just actually he's just graduating. So, yeah, that's who we haven't got to see a lot of him lately, you know, over the last 4 years.
Right. What would you ask him?
Man, how is life?
Yeah.
How is life going, man? Are you afraid? Are you afraid of what's coming? You know, he's getting ready to go into residency, packing up shop, moving up to, he's going to South Dakota. Yeah. Just those kind of regular conversations, you know, I mean, it's busy. Well, hopefully we can talk about this a little bit more here on this, you know, here in a couple minutes, but you know, just the priorities that we have in our lives when we become owners and the beast starts growing, we can easily get caught up in growth and what did I accomplish today instead of who have I become? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So right now I'm in one of those seasons of my life where I know that we've, and not that we're just crazy successful, you know, but we're growing and we're doing well, but at what expense, you know? So to answer your question, if I'm going to have coffee right now, it's not going to be to sharpen my pencil and figure out how to be a better business owner, but how can I prove that my priority is my son and my family? So
I love that. It definitely makes you reflect, you know, like again, it's busy season. I'm not the greatest either. Like when I get home, just putting down my phone and shutting it off. Like especially this time of year, I get addicted to it. And then, I'm not perfect by any means, but I just gotta set it and shut it off for a little while. And I'm really good at Sunday. So like Sunday is my one day that I just spend a lot of time with my family. And I don't miss events. So I purposely chose today for content all day long because my son has a baseball game tonight and his parents are. Well, I'm not going to be out of town for it. I'm going to make sure that I'm home, you know?
That's awesome.
So I just picked that day. And then I know that Saturday's got a couple games, so I'll work around that. And then my daughter is in track, so I'll make sure they're there for that. So it's a flexibility, though. Like, I can leave during the day for 2 hours to watch a track event and then go back to work, so I don't have to miss them. But I was just talking to a friend earlier, just a little bit ago. I don't know if you remember Jeff Goss. He was out of Pennsylvania. He was a heavy hitter out of Pennsylvania. Stud of a guy. And he sold his company a few years ago to the True Green and moved to Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was his dream from the day that he started this, his journey. So shout out to Jeff for listening. His goal was the day that I met him that build his company to sell it and move his whole team to Africa or his whole family to Africa. And so they could help out over there. Super cool. But yeah, I was just talking to him today. I'm like, that's why we grinded so hard when we were young. So that we had the freedom when we're a little bit older to make sure we don't have to miss things to our kids. And so like people like you've heard it a million times. Oh, it must be nice to be able to leave work. Like, dude, I'm in 5 effing years without getting paid. It was not nice by any means. Like it sucked. It was terrible, but it was worth it in the end, you know?
One of the things that I know, my children, like I was mentioning earlier, my son was a senior. My oldest son was a senior when I started getting this, just being called for something different, so to speak. And we spent all this time raising our children. And I thought that once my children got to a certain age, that they didn't really need me as much. And now it's okay for me to start my own thing, live out my dreams or whatever. And, you know, I wouldn't say it backfired, but in hindsight, I know that I could have done and handled things differently. It doesn't matter how old they are. They need their father.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, Quentin, he's our middle son. You know, he's the one that just graduated from medical school. The initial 4 years of me starting the business was his first 4 years of college. And I can remember maybe 5 or 6 times going there to visit him. And he'd come home, you know, as every college kid does. We got to see him. But in hindsight, that's one of the things I wish I would have done differently. Like, he still needed you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old they are. They still need you. And this business takes a toll on your family if you allow it.
Yeah. The first time, and maybe one of the only times I seen my mentor get upset was when his sons are graduating and he promised them all these things that they would do and he didn't do it. And it's already too late. He's like, I have to go. So he like stopped doing everything, you know, sold all his companies and spent a year with his family. But you can't make up that lost time, you know? And it's one of the first times I've ever seen him, like, not happy and excited. And it makes you reflect again, you know?
Yeah. No, you can't change it, but you can sure become a different example.
Absolutely. I love that. That was fire. Who are some of the industry leaders that you watch a lot? Like, who do you follow?
I don't know if you're familiar with Larry Ryan.
No.
With Ryan Lawn and Tree. They're a pretty large company. They're $75 million business, and he's 73, I believe, 73 years old. And, you know, just watching what they've done, I've got some good connections with them, you know, through a friend of mine that actually works, you know, for the company. And he introduced me to Larry at the very beginning, you know, and just seeing what their values are and these mentors you keep talking about. You know, that he's my mentor. He's proven that you can provide a lucrative career for your team in lawn and tree care if you are willing to sacrifice as an owner. And that's, you know, so for him, we bounce ideas off each other. That's what's cool. He's so humble. He's like, Jeremy, what are you doing? And, you know, some of the things that we do, I'm not saying he implements it in their business, but he listens, you know, and then I'm obviously watching what they do and seeing what's possible, you know. I mean, they have like a, you know, able to provide ESOP, you know, for their team.
Yeah, we did that last year.
Dude, no way.
Yeah. It's not hard. So after this, we can jump on a call. It's super easy. So it costs a little bit of money, but that's how you keep good people, you know?
And that means you are committed to growth, and that can be scary.
And we've been growing fast, which has been super fun. Yeah, we did that last year, and it took a little bit of time to get lawyers involved. And, you know, I part of Valuetainment, which is Patrick by David. He's got his COO, Tom. I got a consulting thing with him for a couple hours that we used to help us walk us through the stages of it. He connected us with an ESOP lawyer out of California, and it was great. It was a fun time to go through it, learn that side of the business, and you know what percentage can we give away over the next, you know, 7 to 15 years, and like who are the people we're going to bring in, how many points can they get? It was pretty fun. I learned a lot through it. You know,
well, you're about to make lawn care and pest control sexy again, dude.
That's the goal, though. Like, and I've said this since like almost day one of the podcast. Like, I want to flip it. It's an old industry, but I want to flip it upside down in its face and just bring it, make it cool again. So that's why we wear bright pink. Our shirts are bright pink. Our trucks are wrapped in pink. Like, we want to be different. We want to be fun. Like, we want all of our customers want to see like our cool trucks in their yard. Like, no one else has them. You know, we're trying to just be different.
Yeah. Yeah. Different you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of customers, what do you think your customers say about you?
Well, hopefully, and not that it's a big deal, but maybe it is, you know, when it comes to verbiage and how you talk about your customers or clients, we call their clients, you know, that they expect knowledge. They expect, professionalism. They expect good communication, you know? So if you think about your doctor, for instance, you're not his customer, you're his client, you know? So what our clients expect of us is not perfection, but, you know, just the professionalism, knowing that we are the experts. We're here to help you, not take advantage of you, not to just take your certificates of appreciation or money. So it's we're here to make your life better, you know, or, you know. So I think that's what our clients expect of us. And even changing that verbiage from looking at people as a customer to a client, it changes things. And when your team's met them as clients instead of customers, a customer goes into a gas station and buys a soda, you know, a client just because they want what's best.
I love that. We call our team members inside clients as well. So we got to treat them the same way.
Absolutely. You call them inside clients.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
Just for that reason alone, like, they're just as important as everyone else, you know, like they're our family, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a fun journey. What is your next 5 years look like for Jeremy Elliott?
Well, I'm a God fearing man, so I'm not quite sure where we'll be in 5 years. Right now it's just focusing how can I be the best example of myself today. And what 5 years brings from now, I don't know, man. You know, it's right now, you know, the way that we've grown and how it's worked. It's not that I'm afraid of setting goals. You know, you gotta set goals, right? You gotta have something to look forward to. But right now, it's just, you know, getting our systems in place in such a way that it's super, super scalable. And we're there. We're getting there. We're not quite there all the way yet, but we got a couple locations right now. And you know, again, God willing, you know, we'll have a couple more in 5 years.
That's awesome. Yeah, let's talk about your new shop. Congratulations.
Oh, appreciate that.
It looks beautiful from the pictures. I'll have to come check it out sometime.
Absolutely, man. We'd love to have you come by, but it's we're still, it's a work in progress, just trying to figure out how to utilize the space. And
it looks big.
It's big.
What size is it? It looks really big.
We have, it's on about 2.5 acres, but the, you know, the, as far as the, we've quadrupled our shop space, which we needed. I mean, half of our equipment is sitting outside, and I thought we was going to be renting out that north building, you know, trying to, you know, generate some revenue in some different ways. And gosh, we're filling it up already. So, you know, it's been a blessing. Very, very fortunate to be able to fall into that. We'd been looking at other properties for the last 3 years. You know, we've been growing and we'd outgrown our space. And everything just kept falling through, wasn't working out. And then this place popped up and was more than what we had wanted to spend, but it's working great.
You probably make up that payment in efficiency. And if you're keeping all your equipment outside, what's the damage that that's taking from the weather? So you probably save money just on that.
We had a huge, huge hailstorm and tornado that came through our community last July. And had it been 1 mile further east, we would have been out of operation for probably a month and a half.
Wow. So when a tornado goes through like that, what does it do for business? Is it good? Is it bad?
I mean, it's always bad. I mean, we're tree health guys. You know, we love, I mean, and it's stressful for the clients, man. It sucks. You think life is just what it is, and all of a sudden everything's turned upside down. You know, roofs are pulled off the house and trees are uprooted. And, you know, and as far as us as a direct impact on the business, even though we're on the tree care side, that means we're pulling from what we're used to using our labor force to assist a client base that we normally wouldn't assist with team members that don't have the expertise as the rest of our arborists do. So that we did not make, it wasn't a good deal in any sort of way for us.
So a lot of your customers were hit.
Yep. Yep. We had, I mean, there's still, people are still being repaired and, you know, waiting for, roofs to be installed and windows replaced and siding replaced, so yeah, we're almost a year out from that.
Yeah, that's cool. So I know we talked a little bit about it already, but like, I know you said you set goals. What are your next, for your next couple of years? Like what are some of your goals? They don't have to be revenue wise, just like in general for the business, for yourself, for your family. What are some goals?
I mean, goals for myself is, you know, just remaining grounded and understanding that our lives have changed. We're empty nesters. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go to my wife right now, you know, and is, you know, going into entrepreneurism and what, you know what that fire feels like, you know, when you know what you're capable of doing, your priorities start changing.
And you said it doesn't shut off.
Yeah. It's not intentional. You know, if somebody's asked you, hey, you know, hey Jonas, what's your, what are your top five priorities? You're going to say, oh yeah, my wife and my kids. And, but the proof shows it's your business because that's where you're spending all your time. And that's normal for anybody that's not paying attention. So my goal is, you know, for the next 2 years is to remain committed to my priorities, you know, and not allow the possibility of opportunity to overtake what's truly important to me in my life. Because in the end, man, it's not about what we acquire, what we do independently. It's about the impact that we've had on other people.
And what's some good advice that people can do to stay grounded to their family and rooted there? Like coming in, like I know one person told me just when you get home, leave your phone in your truck. Don't even bring it in the house for at least an hour.
Yeah. I mean, and that's great. That's great advice, you know, cause you know how distracting a phone can be. So in addition to that, whoever gave that advice is super. That's great. That's great advice. But it also be, you know, giving yourself time, you know, 30 to 45 minutes a day to spend some quiet time away from everything, you know, and just reflecting on not how efficient you were today or yesterday, but who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? So that's what I would say, you know, taking that 30 to 45 minutes, even an hour to spend some quiet time in awe of what the opportunities are. Yes. But who am I becoming in a result of that?
Yeah. I know when I write down my goals, a lot of it's business, of course, you know, but I always have, you know, one or two things on there about the family too. Like what I want to do with them this week or this month or this year, you know, what I want our lives look like in 5 years as a family.
No, it's like one of those things I try to talk to anybody about. And I was fortunate enough to be in it for 17 years. And I watched the owner of the company I was working for was extremely successful on a business side. But seeing the struggles that he had on a family side, I seen it, I watched it, you know, and I wouldn't say I learned from it, but it was a warning, you know, there's, cause I know how it affected him, you know, and that sucks, man. And he's a great man. He's passed away now. He had, he passed away from cancer, but just seeing that over the years, you know, so you know, that time that you take to slow down away from your business, away from, and just reprioritizing, are you proving that these, I always say the top five priorities of your life, you know, and mine are, everybody's are different, but mine is God, my health, my wife, my children, and then my work. And anytime that my work takes precedence over any of those other things, my life ain't right. I don't feel successful. You know how it feels like, what do you mean? Like, look at what the company's doing, you know, but if your children, you know how it goes. So, and then, you know, your health takes a hit. And, but I would say, you know, taking that 30 to 45 minutes to slow down away from disconnect and remember what really matters most to you. So on your gravestone, you know, or if somebody was to be speaking at your funeral, you know, what are they going to say about you? Are you going to be proud that you were the best business owner they'd ever known? Or are they going to be proud that you were the best example of a father and a husband, you know, that you could have been?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Like, what's your perspective?
Yeah. And I go to the gym a lot because I just like to take care of myself. Like you said, your health is super important to you. And it's like they say on the airlines, you can't help, like, make sure you put your oxygen mask on first. Well, why? Because if you're not healthy and you can't take care of yourself, how are you to take care of the person next to you? So that's how I look at it as my family. If I can't take care of myself and I can't be healthy, how can I take care of them? How can I show them this is a good, as a good example to take care of their health as they get older? Because as we get older, like, health is so important, you know? And I want to be around as long as possible for my kids.
And I ain't to say that I'm the perfect example of doing that. I just know that's what I should be.
Yeah, I agree. And so, like, I try different things. I've been on a carnivore diet for 10 months now. I've cheated one time on Christmas. I had a bite of a cookie for my kids because they begged me to. Other than that, I'm pretty strict on it. But that's just how my brain operates. I'm, like, super competitive and ADD. And I tell myself I'm going to do something. I just don't let myself cheat. But it's been really, really good. I'm going to end with a final question because I know we're running out of time already. What are you, and I probably already know what you're going to say, but what are you most proud of?
I'm curious to see what you think I would say, Jonas.
I would say your wife and then your kids would probably be right there. And then your team. That, if it was me, like me talking to you for this hour, I would say your wife, your kids, maybe that specific order, and your team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would say, you know, for me, and I don't want to get on a real deep spiritual journey here with you, but what I'm most proud of, or the biggest blessing in my life, is that growing relationship that I've had with God and how it's impacted my marriage. I'm Mrs. Elliott's happy husband.
Awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And without God, I know that wouldn't have happened. You know, the journey that we've been on, and though she's not a part of our business, she has sacrificed equally or more than what I have in order for us to be where we're at. And again, I know you understand that, but, you know, we couldn't be what we are without that sacrifice. She's my partner in so many different ways, but that's what I'm most proud of. So you're right. You know, you know, we've been together for over 30 years, and she's, I can't take credit for everything that we've done, you know, at all. I got to give that to God, like, for sure. And I know you hear that all the time, but it's real if you believe it.
Yeah, I love that too. Super awesome. Cool. Well, again, I know it's, told you about 45 minutes, an hour, or it goes by so fast. It feels like we just started, but we'll have to catch up in, maybe soon, maybe in like a year from now. But I'd love to come down, check out your new facility sometime, and see what you guys got going on.
All right, Jonas. I appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, you too. And again, thanks for taking the time with us, and I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
Appreciate you. Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Pest Control Millionaire. We don't charge any money for the show, obviously, but the podcast isn't free. You can pay for the podcast by sharing it with your friends and your family. So please like and subscribe and give us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast app. These things make a huge difference for us. If you have any specific questions you want answered about the business or your life by me or my guests, send an email to info@pestcontrolmillionaire.com. And if you want to get in touch with me about any personal business coaching, check out our website at www.pestcontrolmillionaire.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you guys again on the next one.